To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. But if you really want to get good with it, you worship him because of who he is, and then you praise him for what he has done. My living shall not be in vain. If I can just help somebody. And sometimes you're helping somebody is just giving them a smile. Sometimes you're helping somebody is just giving them a hug. If I can help somebody. My God. My. Come on, y'all might as well have church. Y'all done been dancing in the choir. Come on, you might as well have some church. Wow. My God. What a blessing. What a blessing. God. Okay. Woosah. Bring it down. Bring it down. To the angel of this house. I call him a brother. I call him a friend. To his wife, gracious, beautiful woman of God. These are honorees. Come on, let's bless the Lord one more time. Just amen, amen, amen. 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 We honor them. We're grateful to God that he has given us another day, and another opportunity to join with others in worship, and especially this day to honor and to celebrate the man of God and the woman of God that he's placed here at this house. To God we give glory, to the offices of this great church, to the pastoral committee, Brother Leroy and his wife, thank you for thinking of us to come and to share on this day. To all of you, God's children, we bless you in the name of our God. I'm just glad to be home. This is family. Ebenezer is family. And so we thank God for you, to our presider and to our sisters in the ministry and all who stand to declare the word of God. Blessings upon you. We thank you as well. Bless this music ministry. Man, I'm just, these babies, amen. The choir, they bless our hearts on today. Grateful that God has given us this chance to come back and to share on this day. I bring with me my wife, Vivian. You all know her, no stranger to this church family. She's here, so I want her to wave a hand or stand. Grateful to God for her. Amen. Amen. She is my smoked pork rib. Amen. My mocha chaka latte. She is. Amen. Amen. She's the reason I dance. Amen. Thank God for her. Our children are dancing, praise dancing today at Mount Olive. And so that's why Rachel, Rebecca, and David are not here, but we thank God for them and all the lessons that we are learning, because we now have children. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Amen. Thank God for them. I also want to acknowledge, I think I saw Minister James Ockleberry back there in the back. Thank you, Minister Ockleberry, and also saw friends of our ministry, Dr. Richardson and his wife,
Dr. Cindy Richardson and their daughter, Jasmine. Glad to see them, and said they would come by and support and share with us on this day. Amen. And so we are blessed to be here. Blessed to be here. Now, I need this for me, not for y'all. I just need it for me. I need the oh, I need every I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, for I come to thee, said I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour, oh, living God, Spirit of the living God, have your way in this place. I got enough sense to know that, Father, I cannot stand, but by your presence and your power, stand now in my body, think now with my mind, speak with my mouth, to the end, Father, that by your word, by your word, you will confront us. By your word, you will convict us. By your word, you will challenge us. But most of all, Father, by your word, please, God, change us. It is in the wonderful, the mighty, the marvelous, the matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. There is a word, Jeremiah, the third chapter, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to ask if you are physically able, if you would stand with me in reverence and respect to the word of God. Words from the prophet Jeremiah, third chapter, verse 15. I'm reading from the New King James Version of this particular passage. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. and I will give you shepherds after mine own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You may be seated in the presence of our God. We want to talk this morning to honor this pastor and his wife, God's gift to his people. God's gift to his people. There is a special dynamic that exists between gift and giver. There is a particular psychology that exists when there is the giving of a gift. There's a special magic that's created when the giver gives the perfect gift to meet the needs or the expectations or the desires of the recipient. But when those two connect and come together, it is an awesome thing.
Yes, it is.
I was watching a few months ago the book of John Gray, and in this episode he had given his wife a surprise birthday party, and so he had planned the party. He had picked out the venue. He had an 80s themed celebration. There was a Rubik's Cube cake that was baked. The DJ played 80s music. Michael Jackson, Beat It, right? Prince, And Lionel Richie, the 80s, you know, music, the 80s soundtracks were playing. All of the food had been ordered. Everything was in place. All the guests who were there. But there was something special about how he planned the party and how he connected it with the needs of his wife. See, his wife had moved from her family, had moved from her friends, and had followed his calling and left to go and be at Lakewood Church in Houston. And so she had been removed from her family and removed from her friends and supporting her husband in his calling. So what was so special about this birthday celebration was not only that it was a surprise, but that he had invited members of her family, flown them in, that he had invited her childhood friends and brought them in, so that when she walked into the venue, and she was definitely surprised, but then she saw her family members and she saw her friends. And so you begin to see tears flow, and she was happy and excited. All of that because gift and giver created such a special dynamic, understood the particular psychology that exists when the gift meets its intended purpose. Talking about God's gift to his people. Special dynamic created. A special magic that happens when God the giver gives a gift, his pastor, unto his people. I believe that this particular dynamic, this psychology exists here in the text when God gives his people Israel a gift. Here in the background of the text, God has secured the help of Jeremiah, the prophet, to go and speak to his people, a rebellious, adulterous, hard-headed, disobedient, stubborn, stiff neck, two timing group of people. And he's not talking about the outsiders. He's not talking about the pagan unbelievers. He's talking about his own. His own people, his own children, his own select particular group of people. And he sends the prophet Jeremiah to woo them back to himself. They had drifted away from him with their idolatrous living. They had stepped away from God. And so God, in his infinite mercy and grace, is wanting to woo them, draw them back to himself. Verse 14 says, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." And despite their ungodly behavior, God is still intent on bringing them back to himself. Oh, y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Look. Aren't you glad? Somebody ought to be happy in the house that God didn't give up on us. That God didn't stop pursuing us. I mean persistently pursuing us to bring us back to himself. That he put up with our foolishness long enough in order to pull us back in and reel us back in to himself. I know everybody's been saved all your life, but there are some folk in the house. There are two or three on this side, I know, that used to be ex-somebody. All right, okay, you want to be like that. Yeah. See, before he called you, before he put your feet on a solid rock, you know you were in the club dropping it like it was hot. Come on. Don't fool me now. Come on. Yeah. Tangeray and orange juice used to be your fate. Yeah. Rolling up them funny cigarettes that you don't buy in the store. And God was trying to woo you, bring you back to him. And I thank God that he didn't call the roll when I was out there doing my foolishness, that he was patient enough to wait to send a pastor to come and draw. God didn't give up on us. What a mighty God we serve. And God is still concerned about his folk today. That's why he still brings together pastor and people. He's still concerned about drawing us back to himself. And when he does that, he says, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, in order to appreciate this particular psychology, this special dynamic that's created, the text draws us first in our attention to the giver. He says, "And I will give." That is, God says, "I myself will give. I will make the choice. I will make the decision. It is my prerogative." Right. God says, "I will." And isn't it good when God is the giver? Yeah. It's best when God is the giver. Scripture teaches us that when God is the giver, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, right? It's good when God is the giver, because scripture teaches us in Luke 11:13 that a father knows how to give good gifts unto his children. It's good when God is the giver, because when he makes a choice, he's not looking at outward appearances. He's not looking at stature. He's not looking at what's on the outside, but God is looking on the inside. Because when God makes the choice, when he chooses, see, somebody in here, and don't look at nobody, just keep your head focused. Somebody said, "I do," because it was your choice. But now you're blowing up the pastor's phone to talk to him about a choice you made. Keep don't look to the side. No, just focus. You took that extra job. You hustled hard for that new position, that new promotion. That's what you wanted. Only to discover that when you get to new levels, you find new devils. And so now, come on, because of a choice you made. But when God is the chooser, when God makes the choice, he knows how to dot every I and cross every T. When God is our supreme sovereign, doesn't need our input. He's not looking for our counsel. He's choosing those who are after his heart. You can't beg him. You can't bargain with him. You can't bribe him. It is, and I will give. God is the giver. It is his choice. And when he gives, he said, I'm going to give one after my heart, one who chases hard after me, one who loves me, one who understands my will and my word and my way. I'm looking for somebody who chases after me. I will give. Somebody who leads and lives my word. I believe you got a pastor who lives and who leads by the word of God. To understand the dynamic, you got to know first that God is the giver. But then there's the gift. And God says, I, the giver, will give you a gift, and that gift is a shepherd. In the King James Version, it is a pastor. I will give you, I, God, the giver, will give you a gift, and that will be a pastor. The text says shepherd. It is somebody who leads, who's a ruler, who functions as a shepherd, who knows how to lead the sheep to pasture, who knows how to feed the flock, who knows and understands how to guard and protect the flock. See, when a church is gathered, it needs to be governed. It must have both magistrate and minister. That the leader must also have a laity, that God is bringing together people and pastors. So that Paul says in Ephesians 4:11, he himself, Christ himself, gave to the body, the church, apostles. He himself gave them a gift, a prophet. He himself gave them evangelists, and he himself gave a gift. That's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. He's talking about the gift, not of what, but who. Not person, not personalities, but persons. Because see, that's where we fall short sometimes, is that we get caught up in personalities. He didn't give personalities. He gave persons to operate as prophets, as apostles, as evangelists, as pastors and teachers. And he says, I will give you one, a shepherd. That's key because God's gift is patterned after the good shepherd. John 10 talks about the good shepherd, right? The good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He is so familiar with his sheep that he knows each of them by name. So that when John writes, he says, the shepherd brings a sheep and he brings them to the sheepfold and they stay there overnight. But when he comes back in the morning to get the sheep from the sheepfold, he calls them. He's so intimately related to his sheep that he calls them by name. And get this, the sheep know his voice. You got to get that. Mama put it, you don't eat in everybody's kitchen. Not that they couldn't cook. Everybody's kitchen ain't clean. You don't eat from everybody's table. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. And so they don't move
They don't act out at the voice of nobody else but their shepherd. He said, I want to give you a shepherd like that who's so intimately related to his sheep that they know his voice. And when he leads, they will follow. That's a good shepherd. The sheep know how to follow him. I learned that in grade school. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere Mary, y'all missed that in grade school. We got that in Houston, y'all missed. Everywhere that Mary went, it didn't say the lamb went their own direction, did what they wanted to do. Everywhere the lamb that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Yeah, that's a good shepherd. Good shepherd ain't like it. He's not like a hireling. Got to watch those hirelings. Hirelings are those who are only in it for the money. Only in it for the money. Only in it for the money. Because when trouble comes, when suffering comes, when heartache comes, they are nowhere to be found. When the wolf comes and when the bear comes, they heels and elbows, they're gone. And there you are left, but that's not a good shepherd. That's not God's pastor who will stand and intercede on behalf of one of his. Yes, you need some more drugs, right? Come on. He will stand and intercede for one of his. That's what God is saying. I, God, the giver, am giving you the gift of a pastor. But catch this. The awesome thing about the psychology of giving and the gift, the special magic that happens, is that God, the giver, gives a gift that gives. Don't you see that in the text? He said, I will give you shepherds the gift according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So ain't nothing like getting a gift that keeps on giving, right? He gives. With God's word, he teaches and he instructs and he shares with wisdom and understanding, so that the gift, pastor, will feed the flock and not feast the flock. See, they have them out there, y'all. That will take from the flock instead of giving to the flock. They have them out there who will pimp those in the pews for their own personal gain. They have them out there. They don't even believe in what they're preaching. They don't even believe in what they're teaching. But if it brings the crowds to them. But no, this gift is one who continues to give because he's preaching and teaching the word of God. The gift, the pastor will teach and preach the word because he understands it brings salvation to those who listen and who hear. The gift, pastor, he'll speak truth to power. Henry Ward Beecher tells of a story where he preached a revival in a city where there was drunkenness and gambling that was perverse throughout the town. And he's there preaching in his revival and sharing the word of God. And so that was rubbing those who was involved in the sinful acts. That was rubbing them the wrong way. One guy got so disturbed that one was walking the alley and he came up with his pistol and he pointed it at Beecher and he told him, you need to take back what you done said. Because it messed with him. You need to take it back. And Beecher looked at him. He said, I ain't taking none of it back. And he walked off. He said, I'll shoot you Yeah, Beecher say, yeah, your aim is not better than mine because my words hit the mark, but your bullet gonna miss. Yeah, yeah, because he wasn't afraid to speak truth to power. And when God sends a gift, that gift understands that I've got to give the word of God. I got to preach it in season or out of season. I got to preach it when they make them shout. I got to preach it when they make them sad. I got to preach it when they jump on their feet with joy. I got to preach it till they drop to their knees in prayer. But I've got to preach the word of God. You got a pastor. God has sent a gift who will declare the word of God. Not his opinions, not what he thinks, but the word of God. Not with gimmicks, trickery, but the word of God. He brings the message of the Messiah, one who came to save. He brings the story of a Savior who hung, bled, and died, that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. God called a preacher. God called a pastor and set him in the house as a gift to his people. And it's a wonderful thing that God's people will honor their pastor in celebration for the wonderful gift that he's given. Come on, come on. See, y'all act like y'all don't know how to receive a gift. When I get a gift that hits the mark, it makes my feet move. When it's something I've been wanting and expecting, dropping hits to make sure Sister Renfro get it. And then when I get it, I act out. I get wild because I'm thanking her for the gift. But God has blessed. God has given. God has said, I'm just wondering if there's anybody in the house that's glad about the gift that comes from the giver. You ought to bless him. You ought to thank him. You ought to praise him for the gift that he has given. Because the gift just keeps on giving. Keep telling them, Pastor, about the Savior. Keep telling them, Pastor, about the one who died, buried, but now he lives. Somebody needs to tell the story that he lives today and forevermore. Thank him for the gift. Thank him for the gift. Thank him. Yes. 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 I bless his name. I glorify his name. If I can just be transparent. Just gotta ask forgiveness. But my son been acting out. Yeah. So my wife had bought him a keyboard. He likes music. So we figured that might take his attention and focus it on something else. So she bought the keyboard back in April. Had it sitting in her car. So me, Daddy, I'm waiting for him to deserve it. Because just when I'm ready to give him the gift, he do something crazy. And so I ain't trying to give a gift to make it look like I'm supporting crazy, foolish behavior. So I hold back the gift. Get right on the right track. Can't stay right for 2 days. Just when I'm ready to give the gift, based on him deserving it, he does something else, and I hold back the gift. My wife said, God done told me what to do. He ain't gonna ever deserve it. Just give him the gift. Ah, you're getting there. So I've been holding on to the gift. The other last night, we gave him the gift. On that very night, he did something foolish. I wanted to take the gift, but I stopped because I thought about the giver when I didn't deserve it. He gave me a gift when we didn't deserve it. He gave us a gift. Thanks be unto our God. Thanks be unto our God for the gift that is his son, Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ who gave us the gift of pastors. Hallelujah. 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 Bless his holy name.
That God would give his only son for us, and through his giving, he would send us a pastor. We're thankful for the gift. Thank you, Pastor Renfro, for that word. Let's give him another round of applause. At this time, perhaps there is someone here that has not yet received the gift. Maybe there is something going on in your life where you want to rededicate yourself. We pause now to offer this gift to you. It is a sweet gift, isn't it? At this time, would you stand with us as we receive our invitation? And if your hearts are to come to Christ, if you would come to the altar. As we sing, "Lead Me, Guide Me."